Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Yes. I heard the Jamaican lady, I can't remember what her name is.
Doesn't matter what her name
is. Matter. And then I heard the response that I guess someone from in the judicial system gave.
No, sir, it is not someone from the judicial system. There were two WhatsApp messages that I read one of the two of them.
Who probably knows about law. Let's just get that. Right.
Okay. Actually came from Atlanta. So it wasn't even the message that I read came from Atlanta.
Oh.
That's what it said. I'm responding from Atlanta, so I presume that they're correct. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I saw that and I kind of like I felt like how the Jamaican lady felt in terms of, you know, when you have money, the justice system tends to work with you. If you don't, then you basically go behind bars sort of thing. But anyway, that wasn't the main thing that I called, although that is really significant in terms of what has been happening in our society. Did you see the footage with the lady on the beach with the part where the police had intervened and told her to move and keep moving?
No, sir.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Anyhow.
No, why? Just... Why is it unfortunate? So I don't like, listen, let me say this. Let me just say this.
And I thought that it was an abuse of power.
So I don't like looking at texts that people send me that I don't know where it come from. That's just me.
Okay, fair enough. Right. That's all right. All right, so basically the situation was this lady saw some tourists who she figured was too close to the beach. They were wearing the red armbands. And she proceeded to videotape them. And I guess the police were called in. The police then somehow felt that this lady was not supposed to be there. And she asked a very valid question in terms of, well, if I'm not supposed to be on the beach, show me where the shoreline is. Instead of answering the lady's question, the police proceeded to use their power, whereby if they tell you to move, you're going to move, right? I mean, she did the right thing, move and keep moving. But I am wondering, and I'm not a lawyer by any means, and I need to get myself more familiar, because here's a situation where you're on the beach. You have a right to be on the beach. She is not doing anything illegal. And the police decide that, hey, I'm going to use my power. Hey, move and keep moving. You're not moving? And then proceed along that sort of line, right? I felt, for me, as a Barbadian, knowing the power that the police have, I felt like that was an abuse of power. You tell me what you think.
So, there is a line of, I don't know, that policemen use. It's called obstructing an officer in the performance of his duty. That's a judgment call. I can't make a judgment call for someone wearing a uniform. So I tend not to try to get in the line of that fire. The reason why I'm telling you, you ask me if I tell you if it's an abuse of power or not. The reason why I choose not to, right, is because I know that the uniform lets people feel they could abuse authority. And unless I'm in a position to defend that abuse, I choose not to aggravate it. But it's a personal call.
All right, fair enough, fair enough. I would like that someone from the police force, an authority, someone senior, would call and let us
know. It's not going to happen.
It's not.
It's really not going to happen. I don't know why people keep making that expectation. It's not going to happen. I'll tell you why. There are times that, well, the reason why I think it happens, there are times when we, the station at various levels, newsroom, whomever, calls and says, so and so, would you like to respond? And the response is usually, we're investigating it, or they have to be cleared by somebody senior. Senior police officers seldom come on the air to defend anything raised about the police unless it's carefully checked, worded, and then a release will be issued in their own time. And no, but let me, the reason why I'm going through all this is this. I think the public expectations of justification for an action or an opportunity to interact and air their grievance is becoming more acute. And I think persons who are in positions of responsibility, and I'm saying this so I hope they hear me. For example, the caller before about the lady with the issue with the response to her tests, okay? The issue you just raised, the lady who called before about the fixing the road, the people who call about pensions. All these organizations have, most of them, have persons who are paid to be corporate communication specialists, to respond to the queries and the concerns of the public.
Right.
In a lot of cases, they don't respond. And to me, that's a frustration because we sit here to try to facilitate that. There are organizations that do. I could single out Light Empower as one, right? They usually they have somebody who monitors this program and they will do it. Water Authority will do it at times. Flow will do it at times, depending on the nature of the complaint. But there are other organizations, governmental organizations, that just don't respond. BRA would do it from time to time, but again, you know, there would have to be a whole list of things, or the moderator may call somebody that they know and ask for a response. But I find, in general, people expect that kind of interaction because, one, you have a concern, two, it troubles you, and three, you would like an official response. Isn't that why?
Yeah,
but they don't respond. And I, for the life of me, the answers sometimes are just more confusing than the questions raised.
Yeah, but let me ask you this, Dennis. Mm-hmm. What's the point? I'm pretty sure I saw someone with the title public relations officer for the police force.
And they have acting ones as well, yes, sir, when she's not there.
Right. Mm-hmm. So isn't that person, isn't their job then to... You know,
I can't answer that because I never see the job description. But one would expect them to respond. Let me put it that way. I would expect them to respond.
I would really like an answer to this because what I saw to me, it was so disgusting and disturbing to see that officer abuse his power. He has been entrusted with the power to look. You can move people for your own judgment. And he abused that. That lady, as far as they're concerned, was abused.
So one person says she was harassing the tourists. Another person says she was berating and cursing the individual and harassing people. People see things and they come up with different opinions, you know. And again, sir, that is why I talk about the difference in approaches and the way people see things and hear things and how they respond to it.
I don't think that she should have been using the abusive language. Yes, that
person
says
she was disturbing the peace.
But at the same
time,
what you're looking at is that we are looking at a paid officer, right?
Who should know how to respond when there's aggravation?
Pardon me?
Who should know how to respond to aggravation?
The police force here is supposed to be protect, serve, and reassure.
Yeah, I get you.
And that somehow just seems to be lost on poor black people. I'm sorry to bring down, to go down that road, but my interaction with the police and what I've seen, it seems to be a double standard. If you have money in this place, or if you have a certain you, then the police don't bother you, you know. You could almost do anything.
Man, that ain't true.
Sir. What is that? I mean...
So that ain't true. Or maybe I have no money. I don't know. So that ain't true.
Really?
Look, let's, again, it is unfortunate, I think, that we continue to believe that, perhaps because we don't have evidence to the contrary, that there are people who break the law with impunity because of who they know or because of the color of their skin and so on. From time to time, we read in the newspapers of government ministers, and I could think of Trinidad and Tobago, who use sirens and red flashing lights and get dismissed because they weren't supposed to have it. Or a minister of national security pulled across and told, remove the tint from your windows, it's too dark. And you say, I'm the minister of national security, and the police officers say, I really don't care, you tint too dark.
Yeah,
we haven't had those things happen, yeah. Barbara. That's why I suppose we can't say what you say is not true, but yeah, right. So perception is fact. But I just think it's unfortunate because I would like to believe, I notice the term I'm using carefully, right? I would like to believe that the law is applied evenly across the board.
No, not in Barbados. Sorry, but it's not happen here. I mean, I would like to believe, outside of Barbados that this society is one that, you know, everybody is treated equally.
But you can't say so.
It knows, it, but you know Sotus, Dennis. I mean, I didn't know that you have to be a moderator and, you know, sell the positive.
No, no, it's not. It's not that. Let me say up front. It's not that I'm doing it because I'm a moderator. I know the perception. I know the feeling that if the police sees me and I look a certain way, I'll be treated a certain way. But I also believe that if we go in with that mindset, then it happens. I could tell you of experiences where I've run into police officers who have been rough and I've been ticketed. And, you know, I went to Central to pay my ticket and they laugh at me. They tell me, you of all people, and, you know, they laughed. So I get the sometimes some people are treated differently to others, but I keep believing that if you go with the attitude that I can be treated differently, you know, you're gonna get treated one way or another. I am not trying to paint a picture that says all policemen are honorable and they behave in a proper manner, because I've seen where they haven't. But I still want to hold on to the belief that all is not lost. Let me put it that way. But I want to support you in the call that if members of the public, and this is one of the reasons why I've supported an independent body to investigate complaints on the police, if you have a situation where people believe that there's been abuse of police powers, there should be two things. One, an immediate response, or as close to immediate as possible, an investigation, and a response again. Because saying that A, it didn't happen, or B, that's what's happened all the time, or I just ain't gonna answer it and you'll fade away, to me will not remove the issues that you've raised, or the feeling that there is out there in the community that people are treated differently because of who they are or how much they could afford to pay. And it's a broad feeling, sir. There are plenty of messages saying so. Thanks for calling. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hey.
Yeah, I must say, whenever you're on with your opening remarks, I think in this case you were with memories don't leave like people do. And you always have some opening remarks that you make, not pertaining to any particular thing, but you will still find that persons will be able to use those, whatever you put forward, in such a way that it goes back into your opening remarks without you actually forcing them to go in a particular direction. So today I am looking at COVID in a different form. Not in the other forms, I think, that the other people have been dealing with. Now, as we all recognize, that is a very serious situation all over the world, Caribbean. But I'm looking from this as from the Caribbean perspective. Seeing that we in the Caribbean, we all have been touched in some way with this deadly virus, mm-hmm. and serious situation, I think the time has come that the leaders or the persons within this block should look, you know, very seriously at how we can make ourselves one to be a better force coming out of this situation. Mm-hmm. Now, you say that we have a lot of things within this space, air traffic, shipping, agriculture, manufacturing, you know, various things. Now, if we can make ourselves a more stronger force between the CSME, now, I'm wondering if there are any, the only body to be able to say this would be lawyers, if there are any loopholes within the Chagaramas agreement, which would have been there for quite a while, and you can get some persons to look at the Chagaramas agreement in another serious way, in order to see how we can, some amendments can be made to certain things that will have bring the CSME and the Caribbean governments a lot closer and better together so that we can work. Because outside of this, you have the various European unions, you have the World Trade Organization and all these areas. We in the Caribbean need something to bring us and have us in a position that we should be looked upon. And when we speak as one block and not as a fragmented group of people. I'm wondering if things, something like this would be able to propel us forward. Our education, I forget about that, our legal system, the training of our various people in such a way in the Caribbean, you know, to make life a lot easier. And when people speak from this region, people would say, well, yes, these have to be, we have to give these people a hearing, and a better hearing than they were getting in the past. I don't know.
Well, let me look at what we tried to do with the outbreak of this pandemic. We had something called a CARICOM bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was part of our containment. When there were countries within the CARICOM bubble that were considered moving from low risk to medium to high risk, the option was to try to exclude that country from the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Antigua protested. There is a reluctance within CARICOM to take a unified approach or an acceptance of an approach that is the best for all, if you care to look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
That disturbs me as somebody who, you know, roamed the region. But it's there. I saw a message, I think it was a New Year's message or comment made by one of the prime ministers in the Caribbean about strengthening CARICOM. I saw an editorial that said, good luck with that, basically, was the way they put it. I don't know. I've reached the stage where I really don't hope anymore. I don't know. Look, what you say makes sense in a lot of ways, but I honestly don't know. If you look, for example, at the proximity of the United States to, let's say, the Bahamas, and the spike of cases in COVID in the Bahamas, or you look at Trinidad and the spike in the migrants coming from Venezuela,
mm-hmm.
those types of issues may not affect a Dominica or Barbados or even a St. Lucia.
Mm-hmm.
But if the people move from island to island, that's, you know, freely, it could become a problem too.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bahamas, for example, don't consider themselves part of the Caribbean unless there's a natural disaster, in which they suddenly realize, you know, we all CARICOM brethren together. Right?
We want brethren
together. You know, or you know, some leader in Trinidad or Guyana to say we must pursue or South American lineage, you know, when they want to duck away from being part of the Caribbean. Maybe sometime in the future, with the new influx of leaders and perhaps those who are more persuasive than others. I mean, Dr. Rowley was educated by a Bajan teacher that he had a lot of respect for. Some of our CARICOM leaders went to school to Cave Hill together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you know, maybe eventually we'll speak with one voice. I don't know.
Do I forget something when I talked to you the last time?
Mm-hmm.
I recognize that there are a great degree of writing and books now being produced in Barbados.
Yep.
Not there weren't in the past. I think it's a very good thing, and especially for those youngsters who would be now in, like I said, primary school,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that as they grow older, that they will have the material, this material will be there based on the type of old persons that are now they're writing. You know, like you had that one with Sir Cole Williams.
Yeah.
You know, person like that, how those persons came along, up, you know, and they have developed and that type of thing. And I think it's good. There's a lady who writes on something that I like a lot, Christmas, old time. Christmas was there back then.
Mm-hmm.
Two books, I think, her, that young lady had out from Christmas time. And they had lots of others, you know, the calendar guy.
That's why I encouraged him to write some more.
Blind, Mr. Murray and those guys. Fine, and I think it is fantastic, and I think that, you know, we should all do that. Only this morning, again, and on this one. Because I know I talk about the corona. But I was able to be listening to something on the BBC, and they talk about how the Ebola, they recognized Ebola, and it came out of a word that was used or part of a thing that the good doctor used on evenings in her quizzes that she had on the second last evening that she was on. I don't know the number of the quiz was number 13. I know what it is, but it's the same thing that they thought that the person, for had. One thing, and that is what brought out the thing that it was Ebola and not that.
What they were testing for. Okay.
And they said, wow. And they said, by just listening to these things, because I get some very good, in the morning you listen to the BBC, there's some very good things that come through. Very educational.
Let me ask this question to you, since you're one of the people who listen to radio a lot. Can we do the same thing?
Yes, I think that we can.
What's stopping us from doing it?
Is it that... All right, let me sort of put this.
I know, I'm asking that question on purpose.
Right. Is it that we don't have the resources, the sponsorship, and persons that could fill that type of void?
All right, so here's the second part to my question. As I say, I'm asking this on purpose. The lack of sponsorship that you talk about and the lack of persons who would engage in it, is that driven by the fact that they believe because they are from Bohir, people won't pay them the same kind of respect they pay to the BBC and CNN?
You might be right about that.
Right. Which is what I was trying to say to the first caller today who took me to task for what I was saying.
But I don't
from
know
being in this business, no, sir, I'll tell you why I say this, right, sir? All my life, this is what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But when I said this to my father, he said to me, nobody will respect you in that profession. Go do something else. Now, if we tell our children this, if we tell our people that you will not be respected for writing about the Caribbean, you'll not be respected for writing about politics, you'll not be respected for writing about traditions, you will not be respected because you're from Bohir, will they want to do it? If we do not hold up the Kamau Brafits, if we do not hold up we have St. Lucia Nobel laureate in literature, not in science.
Yeah.
Okay? If we don't hold up our people and respect their work the same way we do the BBC or CNN or ABC or NBC, if we don't give, and I keep saying, you know, Dr. Ellis, who has Barbados' second highest award, good morning and happy new year to you, Henrik. I hope you ain't retired yet. If we don't respect his point of view as a doctor who's dealt with HIV, AIDS, and all, you know, other diseases, but we hold up Sanjay Gupta that we don't know, we just see him on television. America just elected a president because they see him on television and now they're wringing their hands trying to figure out how to get rid of him. You know, I don't understand why we don't learn from the things that we sit and consume on a daily basis and learn and take it to heart, understand what it is we're looking at. You know, and the guy tell me, I say, you know, I don't like the science and that. That's not what he said. The point is, if we do not respect our people and what they produce, if we don't respect what David Ellis does, if we don't respect what Stetson does, if we don't respect what, you know, Cara Martindale, people in the nation, whoever, yes, point out the errors when they're wrong. Yes, tell them they could do better when we think so. But if we disregard what our people do based on the fact that, I know he when he was in school, he only went to the Aldean school, what are you telling me about, you know, drainage? And yet we have the young Dr. Ford, recognized the world over.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you mentioned the Allen School there just now. But
that's where you went.
I'm saying most of my family, the teachers, and they all them, they went they went to the Allen School. Bears went to the Allen School. And as I park, Dennis, with your permission, I'd just like to give a genuine shout-out to Lavoisier Chateauguay in Montreal.
You sure you can say that again?
Lavoisier Chateauguay in Montreal. Wishing them, I hope they're having a wonderful day.
What's the temperature there?
Well, the temperature, I think it might be... I didn't hear it this morning, but I think it might be... Might be below two or three today. Yeah.
So they're having a good day.
Have a good day, Dennis.
You too, my friend. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Hello. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Hi.
Yeah, you know, there are people who are complaining in terms of the quote-unquote justice system in Barbados, but as far as I can remember... Although I don't know the context in which it was said, they said that Errol Walton Barrow, the very excellent Errol Walton Barrow, would have said to keep out of Quarry Street. So, I mean, you know, I mean, what's all the hurray and hurrah now? You know, it's so strange when all of a sudden everybody's on board now. You know, this is the strange thing about my people.
The shoe is squeezing.
Huh?
The shoe is pinching.
That's right. And you see, it's only when it's on the other person's foot that they get to understand what other people have been going through for years. But I used to work at CXC, what do you call it, seasonal work, you know, like after the CXC exams. And in order to qualify to work there, there were certain stipulations or conditions. And you could not have family that had sat the CXC. I can't remember. I know that was one major stipulation because you would have been verifying the marks of students. And even though you and I don't hold the same view on this, there is a reason why you have to have these kind of stipulations, because all people are not trustworthy.
Okay.
And there are some people who have their own agendas. You know, in Barbados, there's no coming back to me. You know, they always say in Barbados, it's not what you know.
It's who you know.
Who you know. And across the world.
So.
No. I mean...
No, seriously. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yes, because across the world, people have their own hidden agendas.
Mm-hmm.
No, I keep saying to people, Mr. Johnson, I have spent a lot of time fasting. I've spent a lot of time praying. I have spent a lot of time reading the Bible. And I believe that God has shown me certain things. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the main issue, I think, with the public and the last president is what we call political correctness. And like you were saying yesterday, people can push your buttons. That when you respond, they say, you see what's going on. Not true?
Yeah, because they know what to hit. And unfortunately, it's a weak spot. And they know your weaknesses and they exploit it, yeah.
But you see, political correctness, a person can tell you what they want you to hear, and in a way that they want you to come across to their side.
Mm-hmm.
But besides all of that, I'm going to come back on the biblical line again. There's a famous line in the Bible, and it was sung by Bob Marley, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Nobody owns this planet. The Bible said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Okay. Thanks for your contribution.